Contrary to popular belief, becoming a Christian isn't a one-way ticket to Easy Street, but Skip Heitzig says it's much better than the alternative.
This is a promise of Jesus Christ, that faith can sometimes be fatal. It certainly goes diametrically opposed to the modern theology that would say, well, just accept Christ and your life will be full of prosperity and health and everything will be hunky-dory. Well, we read these promises and they're very different from that. Faith can be fatal. Following Christ has consequences. However, not following Christ has worse consequences.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
If you've ever read through Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know that it isn't always easy to be a Christian. In fact, throughout history, Christianity has often cost people their lives. What would compel someone to die for a belief? What would motivate someone to endure gruesome torture and death because of their faith? Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig is going to tackle this very difficult topic as we learn what we should do and how we should react when faith turns fatal. However, before we get started, here's a way for you to get a little peek at future events.
We read the headlines, we hear the news, but are we missing vital clues that reveal just how close the prophecies of Revelation are to becoming reality?
C.H. Spurgeon said, to be looking out for the Lord is a blessed thing. If you are always waiting for Christ's coming, untold blessings are wrapped up in that glorious hope.
This month, The Connection invites you to explore the biblical prophecies of the end times with Skip Heitzig.
The prophet Zechariah declared this: all of the surrounding nations will send their armies to besiege Jerusalem. The Hamas would love to see that happen.
Joel Rosenberg.
And the fact that you know Christ as your Savior, or can know Him today, is special. And it means God has a plan and purpose for you.
Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin, Greg Laurie, and more. Order the CD set from the recent Preach the Word Prophecy Conference today for just $35. This collection of seven teachings on CD reveals the significance of today's current events and how they're playing a part in fulfilling biblical prophecies and why Jerusalem is at the epicenter of it all. Order your CD set of the Preach the Word Prophecy Conference from The Connection when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or order a set online at connectionradio.org. A collision is coming. The question is, when?
You know, persecution isn't something most of us in the U.S. worry about. Or if we do, it's because it's more of an inconvenience than anything else. However, people are still dying for their faith in Jesus in other parts of the world. The question is, if your faith was put to the test, would you? Stay with us today to learn more.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles once again to Matthew chapter 24. Now let's join Skip Heitzig as he begins today's study with a little story.
Well, a man died and arrived at the pearly gates in heaven. And there was an angel to greet him, and the angel had a clipboard, and he took down the man's name and the man's address. And then the angel said, okay, before you enter, can you think of some instance in your life where you performed some kind, unselfish act? The man said, well, here's something you might be interested in. One day I was walking along and I noticed that a group of bikers were mercilessly beating an older woman. I stepped right in. I pushed one of the guy's Harleys down. I hit one of the guys real hard in the head, and he was the guy holding the old lady. And then I kicked the other guy who was beating her up, and I told her to run, and she ran and she escaped. The angel nodded his head and said, "Well, that's pretty impressive. Tell me, when did that happen?" The man looked at his watch and said, "Oh, about 3 minutes ago." That act cost the man his life. He sacrificed his life for a noble cause, chivalry. But the most noble cause is to live your life for, and if need be, sacrifice for, the Lord Jesus Christ. I stood in the Great Colosseum in Rome just about 3 months ago with some of you on our Journeys of Paul tour. And as I looked at the landscape of Rome, and especially the Colosseum, and was mindful of the past history of persecutions of Christians in that area, and some believe that even in that Colosseum, I closed my eyes and tried to imagine that bloody past of our forebears and what they experienced. But what about the future? What will happen to believers in the future? And I just don't mean those who will live up until the rapture of the church. But what about after that, during the tribulation time? The Bible would indicate that there will be a time in the future, in the tribulation period, that worst period that's coming upon the earth, where there will be great revival spiritually, but also great persecution. And so Jesus even asked this probing question: when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I'd like to answer that. According to the Bible, yes, he will. And we're going to see some of that today. Let's begin by reading verse 9, 10, and 11, which is our text this morning. In Matthew 24, verse 9, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Now, you know, it could be that this is the first time you have ever read those particular verses. Maybe you're a newer believer in Christ, or maybe you're not a believer at all. You've come, you're here, a friend invited you, and you're reading that. And that gives you pause. You might be thinking, okay, now you're trying to sign me up for what? This is supposed to be attractive. This is a promise of Jesus Christ that faith can sometimes be fatal. It certainly goes diametrically opposed to the modern theology that would say, well, just accept Christ and your life will be full of prosperity and health and everything will be hunky-dory. Well, we read these promises and they're very different from that. Faith can be fatal. Following Christ has consequences. However, not following Christ has worse consequences. And those ones will last forever. I heard about three guys that were standing in front of a firing squad. All of them were to be executed. Well, as the gunmen pointed their guns to execute prisoner number one, that prisoner was thinking fast in his mind, and he thought, I got to get out of this. So he looked above the heads of those who were holding the guns, and he said, "Tornado!" And the gunman stopped and turned around and to look at the tornado that wasn't there, giving that first prisoner just enough time to escape over the wall. So now there's two left. The gunmen hold their gun up to execute the second one, and he shouts out as he looks over the heads of the gunmen, "Flood!" And once again, the gunmen look back over their heads to see the flood that isn't coming, giving prisoner number two just enough time to escape over the wall. Now there's one guy left. And these gunmen are determined, we're not going to miss this time. But the prisoner is thinking, I've got to come up with some excuse, some deflection from what these guys are doing, some natural disaster. So the gunmen have the prisoner in their sights. They're ready to pull the trigger, and the prisoner shouts as he looks over their heads, "Fire!" And they did. They fired their weapons. Bad choice. Bad choice of words. But on a more serious note, the Bible in Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Well, this morning we want to look at, in part, persecution. The Bible promises anyone who lives a godly life in Christ is going to suffer persecution. In fact, persecution is the result of following the commission. Great persecution will be the result of the Great Commission. You go and preach the gospel, you're going to get it. I'd like to plant something in your memory, if I could. A little formula. Here it is. If you practice Acts 1:8, then you can expect Acts 8:1. Easy to remember. If you do Acts 1:8, you can expect Acts 8:1. You see, back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells the disciples to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all over the earth. Acts 8:1 says, and at that time a great persecution arose against the church. Because they obeyed Acts 1:8, they experienced Acts 8:1. Well, let's go to our text this morning, and you're going to notice with me that there are three groups that are mentioned here in verse 9, 10, and 11. There are future believers, those who will believe in Christ in the future. Along with them, there are fake believers in verse 10, followed by false believers. All three groups are different from one another. Let's look at the first group, verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. The big question here is, who is the you that Jesus is speaking to? Now you might say, well, it's the 12 disciples. They're the ones that are having the discussion with Jesus. I submit to you that is not what Jesus means when he says the word you. And here's why. The 12 disciples will never experience the things that Jesus predicts in chapter 24. The 12 disciples will not endure to the end of the age, verse 13. The 12 disciples will not ever see world evangelization, verse 14. The 12 disciples who are hearing these words will never see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, verse 15. Those 12 disciples will never see heaven darkened and the stars falling out of the sky, verse 29. So the you that Jesus refers to here in its context refers to yet future you, future believers, who will be warned by these words that have been written down by Matthew. These are believers who will see these things during the tribulation period. You're going to, wait a minute, Skip. I thought the rapture of the church is going to take all believers off the earth. You're right. It will. And then after the rapture, in the tribulation period, a whole bunch more will receive Christ during that critical period. These ones are those converted after the rapture and are in the tribulation. And they will experience tribulation. Look at what it says. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. When the Holy Spirit withdraws his restraining power of evil on the earth, 2 Thessalonians 3. When the Holy Spirit removes that and Satan is now allowed to have free reign, there will be an incredible amount of persecution for those who dare name the name of Christ. And the word Jesus used is very telling. They will deliver you up. Paradidomi. It's a word that speaks of a judicial, official enactment of bringing somebody before a legal council. And we know from the parallel passage of this sermon, which is Mark chapter 13, that the persecution is going to come from two sources. This tribulation will come from the secular world as well as the religious world. In Mark 13, Jesus says, watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. So both the secular world as well as the religious world will host some of this suffering on believers. Look a little bit deeper in verse 9 at the persecution they will suffer. Jesus says, they're going to kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. In other words, the coming persecution really isn't directed at them. It's directed at God. And they will suffer it for his name's sake. They just happen to be the only visible ones around. They're the representatives. And thus, they will get the brunt of the suffering. Okay, pause for just a moment. If we were to shift the camera around and turn it backwards and consider the kind of persecution that has already happened on the earth, if we were to refresh our memory on the kind of suffering that the early Christians experienced, it always humbles us. We've all heard of reports of Christians being burned at the stake or thrown to the lions. But did you know that at one time, one of the Roman emperors, Caesar Nero, took Christians, affixed them to poles, poured pitch over them, and used them as torches at night to light his gardens. And at one time, wild animals were killed and gutted, and the skins, freshly killed skins, were wrapped and sewn around the bodies of living believers, and then hungry hunting dogs would tear them to pieces. Other stories of molten lead being poured upon believers. Other stories of body parts being severed off their bodies while they were alive and then being fried, roasted before the eyes of those who had them removed. Horrible, horrible atrocities. 10 major waves of persecution in the second and third century alone by the Romans. Did you know that some of the very ones Jesus is speaking these words in their ears to the 12 disciples themselves did suffer this kind of martyrdom? For instance, Matthew, who wrote Matthew, he was killed by a sword while he was preaching in Ethiopia. John, who wrote the Gospel of John, Book of Revelation, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he was boiled in oil. According to the story, he didn't die. He was miraculously kept from that. So he was banished to the Isle of Patmos as a renegade. Other stories like Peter crucified upside down in Rome. James, the son of Zebedee, beheaded at Jerusalem, recorded in the book of Acts. James, the son of Alphaeus, thrown from the pinnacle of the temple in the Kidron Valley and then beaten to death when he hit the ground. Bartholomew flayed alive. Andrew bound to a cross where he preached, get this, to his persecutors until he died. And even Thomas, yes, doubting Thomas, took the gospel all the way to India. And there in India, not far from Madras, he was lanced with a sword and killed. Now take that same camera from the past and go to the modern day, the present day. And here's why. Because we might be thinking or even saying, okay, but Skip, that was so long ago, so many years ago. It's a modern age. People have changed. Things have changed. Things are different now. You're right. They are different now. They're worse. Last year alone, 160,000 fellow Christians were slaughtered because they trust Christ. In the 20th century, there has been more persecution and martyrdom of believers. When I say martyrdom, I mean others have killed them. More martyrs of Christians in the 20th century than in the first century. More in the 20th than in the second century. More in the 20th than in the third century. Those were the 10 great waves of suffering by Rome. In fact, there have been more martyrs in the 20th century than all 19 centuries before it combined. In the last 4 years, on 40 different countries' soil, Christians have been killed. This is what it means. If you took all believers across the world Add up first service, second service, third service, Saturday night service, Wednesday night service, everybody else's service around the world, all Christians. If you put us all together, it is estimated that one out of every 200 of us will be martyred. That's the modern reality. But we need to take that camera from the past through the present and focus it squarely on the future, because clearly in verse 10, Jesus is speaking of a yet future time of tribulation and persecution. And we know from reading the rest of the story who's going to bring it. We call him the Antichrist. The Bible says that power will be given to this world ruler, the Antichrist, to make war against the saints and to prevail against them. And that's why the Antichrist, the tribulation, is after the church age. They're still Christians, but what we call the church age is past, because Jesus promised, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The Antichrist will prevail against the saints. The church will be removed. People will still come to Christ during that time, but it will be a time of horrific suffering. You don't have to turn to it, but you may want to jot in the margin of your Bible Revelation chapter 6 and look at it later. It's the time when the fifth seal is opened. The tribulation has begun. And John writes, "I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, till both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." What are those cries? That's the voice of the martyrs. That's the voice of believers whose faith turned out to be fatal and they were persecuted to death.
We rarely face dire consequences for our faith, but our faith should be such that if we were faced with the option of denying Christ and living or proclaiming Christ and dying, we wouldn't even hesitate in making our decision. Well, I'll tell you how to get a copy of today's teaching right after a quick reminder of what it means to join the Global Connectors.
Here's a challenge for global missions. Mongolia. Let's check it out. Mongolia. Sparsely populated with about 3 million people, 40% Buddhist, 50% have no religion at all, and only 6% Christian. Listen to Tom Terry from Eagle TV.
We've got a team of guys we call Step by Step. 10 of these guys who are all Mongolians who go out into the countryside and show Bible movies and do evangelism and discipleship. And they still, even today, end up going to areas of the country where the name of Christ is completely unknown. I mean, you're literally starting from square one, and if we can reach those places through satellite, and those areas do have satellite capability, then we can see the ministry of the gospel expand even more than we ever imagined before.
Well, that sounds like a perfect place for Bible teaching on The Connection. And you can get involved personally with the exciting project of global evangelism, and you can even help efforts in countries like Mongolia. Become a member of the Global Connectors for just $25 a month. Your $25 a month makes a bigger impact than you might realize. Join the Global Connectors today for just $25 a month when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Carpe diem for the gospel. Get involved today as a member of the Global Connectors. Call 1-800-922-1888.
Now, if you'd like a copy of today's study, When Faith Turns Fatal, just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit our online store at connectionradio.org. Plus, when you contact us, be sure to ask about the Connection magazine featuring articles by Skip Heitzig. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or you can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And one final item, the School of Ministry's fall semester is fast approaching, so find out how you can register when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for supporting this ministry.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection. Whoa, 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 whoa. Make the connection.
We'll continue to examine what happens when faith turns fatal next time, so be sure to join us, because that's something that could happen to any one of us, especially as we get ever closer to the end of history. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.